Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression.
Welcome, 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 podcast family. This is a Blog Talk Radio production. This is a Hodge to Hodge production on Blog Talk Radio, the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And next, we will have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
You should have back. Shop for him.
Good evening. I want to thank each and everyone that took the time to tune in tonight. Tonight, we're going to discuss once again who we are and what it is that we can do. I just pray that you would listen closely, attentively, and I know as these words are being spoken, there are questions that will come up that you want to ask. If you'd like, I'll make more than enough time at the end that we can ask questions. But what I really stress is that these questions that you have to ask of me, ask them of yourself. And when you ask them of yourself, just concentrate and meditate for a little while. And I can guarantee you that God within you will answer each and every one of the questions. But please feel free to ask me, and I will do my best with the Spirit guiding me to allow us to come to the proper answer. But I've been taught that we can't always have what we desire, that God won't give it to us if it's not for our highest good. And I just want you to know that that's something people tell you when they want you not to be disappointed with a particular outcome. First of all, God does not give you anything. You call it forth. Secondly, God don't make a judgment about what you call forth. God doesn't call a thing good or bad. So you too would do well not to do so. You are a creative being made in the image and likeness of God. You may have whatever you choose, but you may not have anything you want, in fact. You'll never get anything you want if you want it badly enough. Now, I know I've went over this before, and I've said it, but for those who might not know why, it's because you say that the act of wanting is a thing pushes it away. the act of wanting a thing, push it away from you. Because thoughts are creative, and the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of a truth, which the universe then produces in God's reality. That's how it works. The moment you say, I want something, the universe says, indeed you do, and gives you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. Whatever you put after the word I becomes your creative command, the genie in the bottle, which I am, exists but to obey. God produces what you call forth. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. It's as simple as that. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. Now, before I go on any further, I just want us to think about that. And this is something that we have to be mindful of. The fact that we call forth precisely what we think, feel, and say. And so for that, I say to you, be mindful of the things that you say. Be mindful of how you feel about something when you don't really have reason to feel that way about it. Or if you had reason to feel that way about it yesterday, does not mean you have to feel that way about it today. So it's important for us to be mindful, because we walk around wondering why our life isn't where we want it to be. But I'm here to tell you, your life is exactly where you want it to be. So that's why it's important for you to be mindful. Now, so now, why does it take so long for me to create the reality that I choose? It's for a number of reasons. First of all, because you do not believe you can have what you choose. Because you do not know what to choose. Because you keep trying to figure out what's best for you. Because you want guarantees ahead of time that all your choices will be good. And because you keep changing your mind. Just know that best is a relative term, depending on 100 variables that make choices very difficult. There should be only one consideration when making any decision. Is this a statement of who I am? Is this an announcement of who I choose to be? All of life should be such an announcement. In fact, all of life is. You can allow that announcement to be made by chance or by choice. A life lived by choice is a life of conscious action. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reaction. Reaction is just that, an action you have taken before. When you react, you do is assess the incoming data, search the memory bank of the same or nearly the same experience, and you act the way you did before. This is all the work of the mind, not of your soul. Your soul would have you search its memory to see how you might create a truly genuine experience of you in the now moment. This is the experience of soul searching, of which you have heard so often, but you have to be literally out of your mind to do it. When you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, you are doing just that, spending your time. Better to save your time than to spend it wastefully. It is a great time saver to be out of your mind. Decisions are reached quickly. Choices are acted rapidly because your soul creates out of present experience only, without review, analysis, and criticism of past encounters. Remember this, the soul creates, the mind reacts. The soul knows in its wisdom that the experience you are having in this moment is an experience sent to you by God before you had any conscious awareness of it. This is what is meant by a pre-sent experience. It's already on the way to you, even as you are seeking it. For even before you ask, God shall have answered you. Every now moment is a glorious gift from God. That's why it's called the present. The word intuitively seeks the perfect circumstances and situations now needed to heal wrong thoughts and bring you the right experience of who you really are. It is the soul's desire to bring you back to God, to bring you home to God. It is the soul's intention to know itself spiritually and thus to know God. For the soul understands that you and God are one. Even as the mind denies this truth and the body acts out this denial, therefore, in a moment of great decision, be out of your mind and do some soul searching instead. The soul understands what the mind cannot conceive. If you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, your choices will be caution, your decisions will take forever, and your journey will be launched on a sea of unexpectation. If you are not careful, you will drown in your expectations. So then you say, well, how do I listen to my soul? How do I know what I'm hearing? The soul speaks to you in feeling. Listen to your feelings. Follow your feelings. Honor your feelings. So why does it seem that the honoring feelings is precisely what caused most of us to get into trouble in the first place? Because you have labeled growth trouble and standing still safe. I tell you this, your feelings will never get you into trouble, because your feelings are your truth. If you want to live a life where never following your feelings, but ever feelings is filtered by the machinery of your mind, go ahead. Make your decisions based on your mind's analysis of the situation. But don't look for joy in such mechanism, nor for celebration of who you truly are. Remember, true celebration is mindless. If you listen to your soul, you will know what is best for you, because what is best for you is what is true for you. When you act only out of what is true for you, you speed your way down the path. When you create an experience based on your now truth rather than react to an experience based on a past truth, you produce a new you. Why does it take so much time to create the reality you choose? This is why, because you have not been living your truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yet, once you come to know the truth, don't keep changing your mind about it. This is your mind trying to figure out what's best. Stop it. Get out of your mind. Get back to your senses. This is what is meant by getting back to your senses. It is a returning to how you feel, not how you think. Your thoughts are just that, thoughts, mental constructions, made up, creations of your mind. But your feelings, now they are real. Feelings are the language of the soul, and your soul is your truth. Now, I hope that ties it together for those that are listening or going to listen so that you can better understand. Feelings are neither negative nor destructive. They are simply truths. How you express your truth is what matters. When you express your truth with love, negative and damaged results rarely occur. And when they do, it is usually because someone else has chosen to experience your truth in a negative or damaging way. In such a case, there is probably nothing you can do to avoid the outcome. Certainly, failing to express your truth would hardly be appropriate. Yet, people do this all the time. So afraid are they to cause or to face possible unpleasantness that they hide their truth altogether. Remember this, it is not nearly so important how well a message is received as how well it is sent. You cannot take responsibility for how well another accepts your truth. You can only ensure how well it is communicated. And by how well, I don't mean merely how clearly, I mean how lovingly, how compassionately, how sensitively, how courageously, and how complete. This leaves no room for half-truth, the brutal truth, even the plain truth. It does mean the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. It is the so help you God part that brings in the godly qualities of love and compassion. For God will help you communicate in this way always, if you ask. So yes, express what you call your most negative feelings, but not destructively. Failure to express, push out, negative feelings does not make them go away. It keeps them in. Negativity keeps in, harms the body, and burdens the soul. Now, I say to express, push out, get rid of your negative feelings. I did not say how or to whom. All negative need not be shared with the person about whom it is felt. It is only necessary to communicate these feelings to the other when failure to do so would compromise your integrity or cause another to believe an untruth. Negativity is neither a sign of ultimate truth, even if it seems like your truth at the moment. It may rise out of an unhealed part of you. In fact, it always does. This is why it is so important to get these negativities out, to release them. Only by letting go of them, putting them out there, placing them in front of you, can you see them clearly enough to know whether you really believe them. You have all said things, ugly things, only to discover that once having been said, they no longer feel true. You have all expressed feelings from fear to anger to rage, only to discover that once having been expressed, they no longer reveal how you really feel. In this way, feelings can be tricky. Feelings are the language of the soul, but you must make sure you're listening to your true feelings and not some counterfeit model constructed in your mind. So then you say, oh, wow, now I can't trust my feelings? But listen, because it's more complex than you now understand, some feelings are true feelings. That is, feelings born in the soul. And some feelings are counterfeit feelings. These are constructed in your mind. In other words, they are not feelings at all. They are thoughts. Thoughts masquerading as feelings. These thoughts are based on your perceived experience, your previous experience, and on the observed experience of others. You see someone grimace when they have a tooth pulled. You grimace when you have your tooth pulled. It may not even hurt, but you grimace anyway. Your reaction has nothing to do with reality, only how you perceive reality, based on the experience of others around something that's happened to you in the past. The greatest challenge as human beings is to be here now, to stop making things up, stop creating thoughts about a preset moment, a moment you sit yourself before you had a thought about it. Be in the moment. Remember, you sit yourself this moment as a gift. The moment contains the seed of a tremendous truth. It is a truth you wish to remember. Yet when the moment arrived, you immediately began constructing thoughts about it. Instead of being in the moment, you stood outside the moment and judged it. Then you reacted. That is acting as you did once before. And I've said this on numerous podcasts, but I have to go over it again. Now look at these two words. When you get a chance, write them down. Reactive and creative. Notice that they are the same word, only the C has been removed. When you see things correctly, you become creative rather than reactive. But you see, the point I'm trying to make is that when you come to each moment cleanly, without a previous thought about it, you can create who you are rather than reenact who you once were. It's a process of creation, and you keep living it as if you were a process of reenactment. But then you say, well, how can any rational human being ignore one's previous experience in the moment something occurs? Isn't it normal to call up everything you know on the subject and respond for that? It may be normal, but it's not natural. Normal means something usually done. Natural is how you are when you're not trying to be normal. Natural and normal are not the same thing. In any given moment, you can do what you normally do, or you can do what comes naturally. I tell you this, nothing is more natural than love. If you act lovingly, you will be acting naturally. If you react fearfully, resentful, angry, you may be acting normally, but you will never be acting naturally. So how can I act with love when all my previous experience is screaming at me that a particular moment is likely to be painful? Ignore your previous experience and go into the moment. Be here now. See what there is to work with right now in creating yourself anew. Remember, this is what you're doing here. You have come to this world in this way, at this time, in this place, to know who you are and to create who you wish to be. This is the purpose of all of life. Life is an ongoing, never-ending process of recreation. You keep recreating yourself in the image of your next highest idea about yourself. So then you say, but isn't that rather like the man who jumped off the highest building? This is a question that was asked that he could fly. He ignores his previous experience and observed experience of others and jumped off the building, all the while declaring, I am God. That doesn't seem very smart. And I tell you, men have achieved much greater than flying. Men have healed sickness. Men have raised the dead. Then you say, only one man. You think only one man has been granted such power over the physical universe? So, only one man has demonstrated, well, not so. Who parted the Red Sea? You say God? Indeed, but who calls upon God to do that? Moses, exactly. So who called upon God to heal the sick, raise the dead? Jesus? Yes, now do you think that what Moses and Jesus did, you cannot do? But they didn't do it. They asked you to. That's a different thing. Well, go if you're working for now. You cannot ask God the same reckless thing. If you're saying, well, Jesus, you don't think that you can go to God and ask God to heal the sick as well? You don't think that you can go to God and ask God to part the sea? You think Moses and Jesus are the only person that God can listen to? God grants sincerity. You go to be the best you. You're not going to be the best you so that you can be the one that shines, per se. You're going to God so not only you shine, but that you have the ability to allow others to shine. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love ye one another. This is the teaching of Jesus. And the reason why Jesus keeps saying this is because Jesus wants us to understand that we are all one. And I know it's hard for us to accept that fact because when we look in the mirror, some of us see white, some of us see black, some of us see tall, some of us see short, some of us see pretty, some of us see ugly. And so we can't imagine the fact that we are all one. But what we have to understand is this shell that we look into the mirror to see is just a temple that houses the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in each and every one of you. Do you think that if the Spirit of God didn't dwell in you, you'd be able to do loving things? It is those moments, and it's so precious, but we miss them because we've been taught so many different things that we're always looking somewhere else instead of within. Many people believe if they ask in Jesus' name that God will grant their request. And I'll tell you this, many people do believe that. They believe they have no power. But they have seen or believe others who have seen the power of Jesus. So they ask in his name, even though he said, why are you so amazed? These things and more shall you do also. Yet the people could not believe it. Many do not to this day. You all imagine yourselves as unworthy. So you ask in the name of Jesus or the Blessed Virgin Mary or the patron saint of this or that or the sun god or the spirit of the east. You use anybody's name, anybody but your own. I tell you this, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. As I use that illustration about the young man that jumped off the building and wanted to fly, that man fell to his death not because he could not have flown if he was coming from the right state of being, but because he could never have demonstrated godliness by trying to show himself as separate from everyone else. The man on the building lived in a life of self-delusion in which he imagined himself to be other than the rest of us. By declaring, I am God, he began this demonstration with a lie. He hoped to make himself separate, larger, more powerful. It was an act of the ego. ego, that which is separate individually, can never duplicate or demonstrate that which is one. By seeking to demonstrate that he was God, the man on the building demonstrated only his separateness, not his unity with all things. Thus, he thought to demonstrate godliness by demonstrating ungodliness and failed. Jesus, on the other hand, demonstrated godliness by demonstrating unity and seeking unity and wholeness wherever and upon whomever he looked. In this, his conscious and God's consciousness were one. In such a state, wherever he called forth was made manifest in his divine reality in that holy moment. So all it takes is Christ consciousness to perform miracles. Actually, that's all it does. More simple than you think. You may have achieved such consciousness. Many have been Christ, not just Jesus of Nazareth. You can be Christed too by seeking to be, by choosing to be. But it is a choice you must make every day, every minute. It must become the very purpose of your life. It is the purpose of your life. You simply do not know it. And even if you know it, even if you remember the exquisite reason for your very existence, you do not seem to know how to get there from where you are. So here's what I say. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You say you understand the meaning of life, but you do not live your understanding. You say you know the way towards communion with God, but you do not take that way. You claim you are on the path, but you do not walk it. Then you come to God and say you've been seeking and knocking for so many years. So what we're doing is we're actually being delusional. When we walk around here, oh, with the saints and the prayers and all of this, we're doing it on a quote-unquote part-time basis only when we have no other way out. But what we have to understand is this is a way of life, and it's not a dull life. Did you ever see anybody that didn't want to hang out with Jesus? You ever see anybody that didn't want to be around the Pope, per se, the Buddha, or any other great messenger? So to think that dull life is something that you don't want to think you're already prejudiced. Instead of living in the moment, you are not this. You see, God is that still voice within which knows which way to turn, which path to take, which answer to give, what action to implement, which words to say, which reality to create. If you truly seek communion and unity with God, just listen to him or her. I know I've said quite a bit, and I hope what was said was someone was able to hear and to understand exactly what it was that I was saying. And I'm hoping that somewhere in this podcast, the Spirit was able to touch a soul so that they might want to understand more and know more. I want you to know I'm here every Thursday, 9 o'clock and every Sunday at 9 o'clock, because this is my task, my duty to help those better understand just who you are.
Amen.
It's important for us to from this moment on, think about some of the things that we say. And we know that the things that we're saying is not making the best you that you can be. And when you become conscious of that, then you'll be more apt to change. They have this old saying in the gospel, churches, things I used to do, I don't do anymore. When you come to know who you are, there are so many things that you have to do. And I say this so that you can understand. I'm not saying that you can't go to the club. I'm not saying you can go. I'm not saying you can't go. It's totally up to you and God. But we've let everyone else dictate and determine who we are. How can you be the best you if you're not listening to you? You're listening to mommy, daddy, cousin, brother, preacher, news editor. You're listening to everyone else but you. So on that note, I want to thank once again my co-producer, made sure I end each podcast with my mother's song. And I want to thank her for lending that. I don't have the copyrights to her, so I hope she don't come back and try and sue me and get some royalties on it. But I truly thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. And I pray that something was said that inspired you to make you want to go deeper and deeper and each day be better today than you were yesterday. God bless you. I love you all. And I look forward to talking to you again on Sunday, 9 o'clock. Stay strong. Hold your head up. And know you are truly worthy of all things. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless.
That's good.